card up and move forth tonight in victory to praise thee and subdue the enemy in each and every life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you. Let's just move out tonight for God. Let's forget about the fact that we're tired. Let's forget about the fact that you've had a hard day and a busy weekend coming up. Let's get our eyes upon God. Let's forget about how the devil's been hassling you. Who cares about the devil? We've got God. You know, you can worry so much about the devil, you don't go anyplace. But we have God on our side, amen? Let's forget about our failures. Today's a new day. Tonight's a new night in God, and God's presence is here. Amen? Let's forget about our failings. We're not looking for our failings. We're looking to the Spirit of God. You know what I believe? I hope this will encourage you. I believe, you know, that we have a tendency to get earthbound and discouraged because we look at ourselves and we see how we struggle and how we fail and how we're not everything that we should be. We see carnality, we see flesh life, we see the difficulties, and so there's a tendency to get discouraged. And you know, and I've mentioned it many times, that God has not called us to look to self. But I think we don't really know what we really are. I think we don't really know what we really are. Now, we know it in a theological sense, but I mean we're not really feeling the impact and really knowing in the inner man who we really are. And I think about the time that God brings us through the winter time and all of a sudden he begins to shine the warm sunshine of his love upon us. He begins to cause the rain to fall. He begins to cause the flowers to open and the birds to sing. In other words, the climate outside changes. God's life-giving force begins to rush up into the ends of the trees, and the blossoms begin to come forth and give a fragrant smell. About the time God begins to arise in his people, about the time that God begins to put away the enemy, you're going to find out when God puts away the devil, and you find out what you really can live like without all the pressures and the devil, and the discouragement, and find out who you really are. I mean the spiritual man. Someday we're going to move into a realm that we're going to find out who we really are, which is the spiritual man. Because you see, the soul really, really wants to have, let the spirit have its way. And the spirit man, which is the most important part of man, really wants the Spirit of God. I mean, your spirit man really wants the power and the love and the freedom of God and wants to love him and be just what he wants you to be. The spirit is willing. But it's the flesh that's weak, but the flesh is time limited. Aren't you glad? The flesh will not always be healed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God. And when we drop the flesh, which is putting demands on the body, which is subject to the pressures of the devil and all outside influences and sickness and discouragement from outside, and we don't have the flesh, but only the soul and the spirit, and then later the soul and the spirit and the glorified body, you're going to find out who we really are. And you're going to find out we're not as low and scummy as you thought we were. You're going to find out the devil was lying the whole time. He was talking about the weakness of the flesh. He was talking about the tent. He was talking about that which is not eternal. He was talking about that which only hangs on the outside. He wasn't talking about that real man and what's going to live through eternity. And you're going to find out that he's been lying all the time, causing you to look at the outer man, saying, look at the weakness of your flesh. But you say, praise God, I'm going to leave that flesh. That's not going to be me any longer. And then I'm not going to, my glorified body won't put any such contrary demands on me. And I'm going to find out I'm going to be free from that. But even on this earth, when God begins to change the climate and begins to move a new life inside, you're going to find out who you really are. The spirit man, you really do love God. We really are spiritual minded. We are just bound by flesh and the chains and misconceptions and fears and doubts and all kinds of lies the enemy puts on you. Now, you know, you take little children and you put them in a good environment and you leave them there, you know what kind of children they are. They're sweet, they're good. But you get that little kid out, you get about 10 different men around them, evil, to begin to seduce them and begin to lie to him and discourage him and berate him and pick on him and push him down and put pressure on him. You find out, little kid, he goes to pieces. He is discouraged. He cries. He's panicky. He's got fear. He's got phobias. He can't do things. He's unwilling. He's a mess. But that's not really him. That's only him under those kind of pressures. He's just too little to handle the pressures. Get him out from the pressures, you'll find out what a sweet kid you really got. And just because the devil's been lying to us. But God wants his people to stand flat-footed and still be able to reach heaven. He wants us to be able to see that we are sons of the King of Kings and that we can rise to full privileges in God, in the spiritual inner man, because we have been born from above. And what the flesh looks like doesn't make any difference, because after God has told us that the natural man cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death-doomed body?" And says, "I find that the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And I find there's a law of sin working in me." Then it goes on to say that with the mind, we serve the law of God. But with a body, a flesh, the law of sin. But then he goes on to say, they that are spiritual minded, those who are spiritual minded have life and peace and are God's. But it's those who are carnal minded that is death. But those who are spiritual minded in death-doomed bodies, even following the law of sin, still has life, because the body is being allowed to pressure you to make you worthwhile. The only reason God's letting your body to pressure you and the outside influences to pressure us is so that we might become more stalwart. But when that comes off and the metamorphosis takes place, you're going to find out that we're not bound by that old cocoon anymore. We're not going to act like we're bound by that cocoon anymore. We're going to be free. There's a life process working inside the larva. And this thing is growing. And it's starting to push that old cocoon. And it's still kind of tight and miserable inside that cocoon. But someday, we're going to fly away. And I'm trying to say that I think that when we come into a house of God for spiritual worship, that we are to recognize that we have a spirit that is in tune with God, born from above, filled with his spirit, that is willing and does love God. Though we be earthbound, confused in our natural minds, having difficulty to yield, we need not despair, because our spirits love God, and we've come to worship him. And we should worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, when you play rock music with Christian words, you couldn't possibly worship the Lord, because it takes more than the words of worship to worship the Lord. Because the beat is sensual and soulish, not spiritual. It's soulish and sensual, sensing. It's body-soul type music rather than spirit music. But you don't worship God in body and soul and body. You worship him in soul and spirit. So we must worship him in spirit. And so we must have that which is akin to the spirit, which causes you to reach up. Now, your body may not get a lot out of it. Some people say, "Well, I like the rock music because I feel." Sure you feel. Your body feels. Sure it feels. It's soulish, sensual, body music. You will feel it. Even with Christian words, a lot of people love to try to worship the God in the flesh and in the soul. Sure they do. They like that. They can feel it. It's emotional to the soul. They feel it. They like to jump around and dance and throw things. They like to just get excited in the flesh. But that leaves you empty when you get through. Your spirit's empty. It's not real spiritual worship. Real spiritual worship does not depend on your body getting excited, although you may get excited. It's not dependent upon that. It's not dependent on how your body feels. It's not dependent on electric shocks and warmth and heat and all falling and all that kind of stuff. It's the man inside that is adoring, thankful, worshiping, praising, loving him. And regardless of how you feel, it doesn't make any difference. You don't have to be slain by the Spirit. You only have to adore him with your spirit. You just have to get out of the sensual. There are people that they can, if they would dance around and do a dance down the floor and dance around in the flesh and the soul, they would feel happy. We would have had a good meeting here. Well, this was really great. See? But when they got through, they're still empty inside. But God's Spirit, in a spiritual move, works on the spirit and makes you a better man. It works on the spirit and draws you to commitment. It draws you to deepness in God, to making decisions in God. That's why we used to say in Pentecost, it doesn't make any difference how high you jump and how loud you shout, but how straight you walk when you come down that counts. And the reason being, because the other can be fleshly. It can be that which is of the outward. You can bounce around and clap and give a great time, but if it doesn't make you more spiritual, if it doesn't put you in a place to follow God, And your spirit to connect with his spirit and to love him and love his word and love the brethren and love souls and walk straight and have God want your life, God to be pleased with your life and to follow him and make you live above sin. That's what spirituality does for you. But if a lot of people, they don't want spirituality, they're looking for solely physical, sensual pleasure, and they can't seem to walk right, and they don't know why. Because they're not moving into the spirit, where you are giving yourself unto him. And tonight, I want you to be free tonight as a body to participate as a body. I want the whole body to move as one body. Let's don't be paralyzed tonight. Let's love him, praise him. That doesn't mean how loud you can scream, that flesh again. That means just forget everybody and everything. Forget the devil. Forget about trying to work something up and how much you feel. It's got nothing to do with it. Let's just glorify God and make the commitments and be thankful for what he's doing and believe him and have faith in him and everything and don't doubt anything. Don't hold on to fears. Just cast aside all that thing and just be free. I don't mean to be free to be ecstatic. I'm not talking about even be ecstatic. I'm talking about being free, uninhibitedly, to love him from the inner man and to make that commitment and to realize nothing can hold you back. What I'm trying to say, this is important to me, and it should be important to you. What I'm trying to say tonight is we have been struggling. We don't need to struggle. Struggle is all done by the flesh. We have been just struggling. We have been trying to feel, trying to do. But my friend, I'm all saying to you, but I can't seem to do what we're saying. I'm not talking about doing. Just trying to do something out here or to feel something. I'm just saying that when we do, is come to grips with reality, and we just say, yes, Lord. We just say, yes, Lord. The spiritual man begins to say, Lord, you are Lord of my life from this moment and on, and I don't have to have any fear. I don't have to have any bondage. Let me just say this one more paragraph here and see if I can sit down. I'm trying to bring something that is so wonderful if we can just see it. All of you are struggling with a creation that's groaning. Devils lying to you, battling you, pressuring you. And if this seems like it's so difficult, and in the family, and with all the things, how do you do all this? Let me tell you something. We've come here tonight for a purpose. If we can get this one thing, if you don't ever fall flat on the floor, do any dancing or throw your arms up, don't even sing a note. If you'll get this in your heart tonight, you'll have done something that and accomplished something and come someplace that a dozen services in the past perhaps have never accomplished for you. And that's this. We can defeat the devil in a moment. In a matter of 2 minutes, what you have struggled for 2-3 years can be over with. And that is really the truth. Now, I'm not so naive to think most people are going to do it. But what it takes is a decision of faith. Now, if you can't put yourself in that place of faith, you will not get there. But the faith that says, I know that God's word is true. I know everything God has said by His Spirit and through His messengers is true. I know every lie the devil has brought to my mind, and every discouragement and every fear is unwarranted and is a lie. I do not have to have it. I know I don't have to wrestle with my sins. I know that I have a right to walk above sin, and I can. I know I have a right in a moment of time to appropriate the power of God. I know that His grace is sufficient, His power is sufficient, and I know that I can just appropriate it, and I can walk in it, and it's mine. In the moment that I believe that, it's just like the moment you believe that you're a son of God when you confess. In the moment you believe it, you're free. It's like accepting your healing, and the moment you believe it, and the healing comes. It is just accepting the fact that you are free because of what Jesus did for you. Now you can, that is so simple that you can throw it away. You can just throw it away. You can just say, well, I tried. Forget trying. Quit trying. Stop trying. You're messing it all up. You don't get it by trying. You get it by believing. If you tonight can decide that God's word is true after all. And so we haven't always, you ought to sit up a minute. We haven't always, I got to hammer this point about 4 more inches down. We have not believed. Now that's a strong statement. And it's not wholly true. It's true in a general sense. We have not believed this. In a general sense, we've not believed it. We've believed it theologically. And we've come to grips with it some experientially. We have not fully believed this. So don't fancy you've already believed it. What we have done when we have heard this message is that we have said, that's all fine and good for you to say that, but you just don't understand. I mean, this is difficult, and I just can't. And the minute you say that, you have thrown away the whole package. You haven't believed one thing. Not one thing. The instant you say, well, I'll try. No, forget it. You won't get it by trying. You won't get it. You have just lost it. The moment you make one slightest excuse, you've lost it. The moment that you say, well, I can't. Well, okay, I'll try. You've lost it. What you've got to do is decide that it's yours and decide you have it. When you say, well, okay, I believe, I know the Lord will do it, you've lost it. Just got through losing it. Just lost it. No. You will not get it by deciding that He will do it. You will only get it by deciding you have it. It will not come until you decide you have it. The joke, I decide I have it. But I don't feel anything. I don't think I got it. You just lost it. It's got nothing to do with feeling. That's right. This is really right. I'm not exaggerating one tiny bit. I'm not overplaying this. If you've never understood it before, try it tonight. I know we've all failed over and over again. I know we have failed. I know we have not believed it. You say, well, I believed it, just couldn't do it. No, you just lost it. You have not believed it. Believing it is accepting it. I have failed to believe it. You have failed to believe it. We know it up here, but we have not believed it with a active, living faith. We have believed it with a dead, theological faith. The instant you believe, a person comes down and he says, Lord, I confess all my sins. I haven't lived right. I'm sorry. And I believe You died on the cross for me. And I now ask You to forgive me for all my sins and make me a son of God. And the minister lays his hand on his shoulder and says, are you a son of God? And he says, I believe I will be. No, you lost it. You lost it. He forgave you, now you lost it. You know he hasn't got it, don't you? Well, I by faith I am. I'm going to. No, you don't. You don't have it at all. No, I'm sorry, you haven't got it. Well, I believe it. I will as I go on. No, you won't. No, you lost it. Well, I just don't feel. I know you've lost it. But he's got to say, he's got to believe that God has forgiven him. And if you believe God's forgiven you, say, yeah. Well, how are you then? You're a son of God, right? Well, you see, my past life, you didn't believe what you said you believed. You glibly said words, but saying the words is not believing. It's easy to say words you expected to say, and you try to fool yourself. You try to fool yourself, fool the devil, and fool God, and fool everybody else around you. What you've got to do is accept it. And the moment you say in your heart, I am a son of God, born again. At that time, after you have repented and asked God in sincerity, you are a son of God, forgiven, born again. And then peace will follow. But accepting has got nothing to do with feeling. Absolutely nothing. Feeling follows. The moment you decide that you now are a son of God and have power over sin and do not need to sin, and you now are free, you are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It was wrought for us back there on Calvary. His action has already been taken. All that remains is faith. Not trying, not giving it a whirl, not feeling, not seeing if it works. That's not faith. It's believing that you are now free. He said, but I got a demon problem. You lost it. Free. But how about demons? Forget demons. Free. That includes demons. Demons are nothing. I would like to see everyone in this assembly say, okay, yeah, okay, I got it. I'm free. Okay, I'm free. Now on, I'm free. I'm settled. It's settled. I'm not going to fight with anybody. I don't have any animosity against that guy anymore. I don't care. It didn't make any difference. I don't care what he thinks about me anymore. The thing is settled. I'm not going to live with things against him and things against me. And it doesn't make any difference anymore. My life is hid with Christ in God. I'm only looking for eternity. Whether the winds blow and the ship rocks or not, whether it goes under or whether it doesn't make any difference anymore. I've worried and I've fretted. And God says, would you quit that, please? Stop worrying. Quit fretting. And that's what the Bible says. Stop worrying over even one thing, is the literal Greek. Roll all your care upon him. Stop judging one another. That's what the Bible tells. We have not obeyed the word of God. Have faith in God. With God, all things are possible. Reckon yourself dead into sin and reckon yourself alive unto God. We have not done that. We have reckoned ourselves half dead to sin and half alive to God. And that's what we've been. According to our faith, so it has been unto us. But God is trying to get us to see this truth. And we say, Lord, how come we just can't seem to go any places? Well, you haven't believed my truth. You haven't believed the fundamental truth I've brought. And you're not going any place until you do. Oh, I mean, you'll be able to have an outreach, Bible study, be able to do this and that and the other thing. But you're not really going any place until you get a hold of this. I'm trying to bring you a revelation tonight. The fact has been preached 10,000 times, got nothing to do with it. Tonight's the night for the revelation of it. The rest is just practice. I'm kind of insisting we get a hold of this tonight. I know I'm speaking a little bit longer now, and I'm purposely doing it. I'm going to press this thing to a conclusion in your mind and heart if we can. If I can do it, it'd be worth you walking 500 miles on your knees to get here tonight. That's the truth. That's right. It'd be worth you flying all the way from Amsterdam. That's right. It'd be worth every dime you have if you just take a hold of this. And you're not going to get it until you decide, I am dogmatically free because the Word of God says. or so. Period. But how about, now forget how abouts. How about is the devil's tongue wagging? I am free. Well, isn't that theologically lying? No, that is theologically telling the truth. Everything else, a contrary to it, is a lie. It's the only truth that really stands. It's the elusive truth that the church has failed to appropriate for 1900 and about 70, 80 years. But if we'll get a hold of it, we'll find out what the word really means and what it can do. And you can grab a hold of that thing and walk out. But how about having hands laid on you? Forget hands. Well, if I have a brother to pray for me, forget the brother. But if I could forget everything else, you don't have to have anything else. It's not Christ plus your brother. It's Christ by himself, his word, and his word alone. You don't need anybody else or anything else, nothing else with it. Only that one thing. Period. So how come God has all these other things? Because people won't believe the truth. That's the truth. You wouldn't need all those other things if you believed the truth. Those are just devices to try to get you into the truth. This thing has come clear to me tonight, and it's never come in all my life. I hope it comes clear to you, because it'd be worth me standing up, going through all this with you. I mean, from your standpoint, I don't mind doing it. The truth shall set you free. Free. Free, Libby Cameron. Free. The truth shall set you free. If you take that, you're free. Well, don't I need about 4 hours of good to hard prayer? You don't need any prayer. No exorcisms. No oil. You don't need any William Branhams. He wasn't anything anyway. And he admitted it. There's no man that's anything. Oh, I don't mean he's less than others. I think he was a great, outstanding man of God, humble. That made him something. God used him.